How many of you have ever used a butter knife to tighten or loosen a screw? Roger, never? Okay, what about a knife? A pocket knife? Maybe. I know that's like the cardinal sin of an engineer to admit that, right? I just made it. How many of you have ever used a shoe to drive in a nail? Okay. I'm going to blow your mind. Did you know that they make tools for those exact applications? There's a thing called a hammer, and if you use that to hit the nails, they go in a lot better. Sometimes, like unless they go sideways. And then there's a screwdriver that is custom designed to put screws into things and take them out of things. And if you have those on hand, and there's different sizes of screwdrivers. Now this, you probably didn't know. There's different size Phillips screwdriver, that's the plus. Okay? There's different size Phillips. You get the right size, it matters a whole lot. When you use the right tool, it makes things a whole lot better. So today, with Pastor Joe gone, we talked about what we wanted to talk about, and he spent the last 2 weeks really casting a vision for a relationship with God and a relationship with other people, because relationship with God is the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength, everything you got, love God. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself, okay? It's all about relationship. Relationship is this vehicle for how we can worship God and follow God and how we can get to know each other and honor God in our relationships with each other. We've all been in relationships where neither one of us were very honoring to God by how we treated other people. And so this week I want to start out over 2 weeks. I'm going to give you some nuts and bolts. This is a nuts and bolts message. Okay. This is just practical application tools for you to put in your belt and take with you so that you can know how to have a relationship with God and a relationship with other people. These are called the spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. These disciplines are the tools on your belt for growing closer to God. And if you will exercise these disciplines regularly, then I promise you it will strengthen your walk with God. It will strengthen your walk with God. Now, if you really don't know what a walk with God is, or you don't really care about having a walk with God, I want to say to you, well, I'm really glad you're here this morning, okay? Because maybe you didn't want to be here, maybe someone drug you here, you know, maybe you got a drug problem, your mom dragging you places, your girlfriend dragging you places, your boyfriend dragging you places, whatever. But for whatever reason, you're here. So I want to encourage you to invest a little bit of your time and energy, be open-minded, and at the very least, hear what this whole Christian thing is about. Because this is kind of our secret sauce on how we do Christianity, if you're not a Christian. And so this is kind of, this is our rules, the whole big book. You want to know it all? This is kind of it. This is the big list on how to be a Christian. So listen to it. Even if you try some of these, I promise you it would make a difference in your life. So at least give us the benefit of the doubt, and I'm really glad you're here with us this morning. The first one, the first spiritual discipline is solitude. Solitude. And it's quite simple. It's refraining from interacting with other people in order to be alone with God and be found by Him. Okay? Refraining from interacting with other people so that you can be alone with God and be found by Him. Be with God. Okay? How many of you like one-on-one time with a significant other? All right? You like to have one-on-one time with a close friend. There's something special about that. When you just get coffee, you get tea, and it's just one-on-one, you get to have really good conversation. It's different when you add a third person. What do we call that? Third wheel, right? You add the third person in, you know, or you get in a group of people. As the group gets bigger, it seems the conversations sometimes get less and less intimate, less and less deep. And it's the same thing with God. Yes, I'm in a relationship with God when I'm hanging out with all you people. That's wonderful. I'm in a relationship with God when I'm with my family, but if I get one-on-one, alone time with God, there's something very special about that. Blaise Pascal, who is a really cool guy, he's a mathematician, a physicist, and a theologian. It's like the trifecta. He's like my hero, right? Okay, but anyways, he said this: all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. All of humanity's problems stem from a man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone, right? I gotta turn on the TV, I gotta have some music playing, I have to have someone talking to me, I have to have some entertainment. I can't just sit and be by myself. Because if I sit by myself, then the noise inside will start to come out, right? Those words, those thoughts, I don't hear audible voices in my head, okay? So don't think I'm crazy. Some of you might, that's okay, I'm not judging. But those thoughts, the inner thoughts that I have start to come out, and I have to deal with those. I have to deal with those. As long as I got enough commotion going in the world around me, I don't have to think about that. I don't have to deal with it. Jesus set this example for us. In Luke 5:16, it says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." He's got a multitude of people around him. He's doing ministry left and right, loving on people, feeding people, teaching people. And he withdraws from all of that into the wilderness to be by himself to pray. That's solitude. It is a tool that we have as Christians, and it's a discipline that we should exercise. Be alone with God with no other company. This includes moms and dads. And I know moms, you're saying, "I can't even go to the bathroom alone." Right? I don't even get a single moment by myself. There's nothing wrong with paying somebody to watch your little darling so you can have solitude, so you could just spend an afternoon alone. There's nothing wrong with that. That would actually be a good investment. And here's the truth, though. You could pay somebody, it costs you, and you're saying, "I know that costs a lot of money, Ron, for me to get alone time." You got to be intentional if you want to be healthy physically, spiritually, mentally. You got to have alone time. You have to have solitude in order to think, and it's going to cost you. Yes, but it's kind of like having a heart attack. You can either pay to go to the gym and eat right, or you could pay to have heart surgery. Either one is going to cost time and money, right? So it's just kind of a matter of which side you want to be on. So you could pay and rearrange your life so that you get a moment of solitude, you get time of solitude in your week, or you could wait till life kind of blows up and you've never had a moment to think about these things and they all come at you at once, which is that's the plan most of us are in, right? That's the plan most of us. I want to encourage you, use solitude. Get alone, spend some alone time. The next one is silence. And I have a handout for you guys. I don't know if you guys got it or not. I want you to take that home with you. If you didn't get one, then I'm sure they're floating around. I think Chris has got some more. Do you have any more? We can always get more. Grab one on the way out. He'll set them on that little bench right there by the back door. Silence is not speaking in a quiet place in order to quiet our minds and whole self and attend to God's presence. Silence. This is one I really struggle with. It's also not speaking so that we could listen to others and bless them. Habakkuk 2:20 says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." I got a problem with this one, okay? This is a big biggie for me because I constantly have my headphones in, okay? And I'm not just listening to music, okay? Sometimes I listen to music, but 99% of the time I'm either listening to a book, generally nonfiction, although I'm listening to Under the Dome, Stephen King right now, because the TV show, I got to find out what's going to happen. But generally it's nonfiction or a podcast, you know, talking about science or something I'm interested in. I'm constantly learning, okay? I'm a learnaholic. I like to learn stuff. And so I listen, and you guys are thinking, well, that's good. You know, I wish I was that great. And Ron says, this is a problem for him. You know, oh, the big problem, Ron. No. But listen, But I never take my headphones out, and oftentimes I'll be doing this in a room with other people. And if I don't take them out and I don't sit in silence, will I ever process what I'm learning? No. So what I realize is what I'm doing is this learning thing is really an escape to keep my mind occupied and keep me busy so I don't have to think about the things that God wants me to change in my life, the things that I need to work on, and who I am. How to be a better dad, better husband, better man. As long as I'm learning something, you know, I'm working on it. I can kind of check that off and rationalize it. But if I don't sit in silence, perhaps journal, and just let it, just think, well then how can God speak to me through his word, through what he's been teaching me? How can God speak to me through the things I've been reading and learning? He can't. When was the last time you wrote and quiet in the car. I don't do it very often. Some of you guys are probably like, I'm quiet all the time. You know, I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. But a lot of us, we get in the car, it's, turn it on, you know, turn it up. Something's playing. Something's always going. You get to the house, oh, turn on the TV, you know. It's let silence come into your life. Relationships. This is one of the ground rules in our small groups is silence. Allow silence in the group. After somebody speaks, allow a pause so they can think about what they just said, so it can sink in. Maybe they want to change it. Maybe they want to revise it. Maybe they want to say something else. And then allow silence in the room. Not all of us speak real quick. Not all of us are great communicators. Some of us actually think before we speak, right? And so allow silence in your relationships with other people. Be quiet. I have trouble with this, right? Someone gets halfway through a sentence and I've already got the rebuttal and the solution and then so here it comes. Yeah. Shut up, Ron. You know, just shut your mouth and let them speak as an exercise. As an exercise. It's a tool that will help you in your relationships with others and in your relationship with God. Turn off the media. Turn off the stuff. The next one is fasting. And fasting is going without food or something else for a period of intense prayer. The fast may be complete or partial. Now, this is one that kind of freaks people out. This whole not eating thing is kind of a big deal. It's like, ugh, I like to eat. We all like to eat. We're going out to lunch after church, right? You know, we're going home. Who's got a roast in a crock pot or something? Anybody? Chris? Okay. First course at your house, then I'm driving to Masontown. Okay. But it's awesome, you know. But fasting is healthy for most people. It's actually good for your body. It's not a means to lose weight. You don't want to just like go without food and starve yourself because you want to lose weight. It's not about that. But if you do suffer from liver or a kidney problem, then maybe fasting from food isn't the thing for you. Most of us can manage, though. Most of us could actually go several days with the supplies that we have on us. We would be fine, okay? But there's different types of fasts. There's food fasts, where you just drink water. You know, you still want to drink water. I would not recommend a no food, no water fast. That's pretty bad. I don't want anybody dying this week. But I've gone on a water fast, you know, for 24 hours, just water only. Or I mean, we do this when we go get those weird tests at the hospital, you know. So if the doctor's telling you to do it, it's okay. Just drink water, or maybe you just drink juice or other liquids, soup, broth, things like that. There's a Daniel fast in Daniel where he describes how he didn't eat any sweet breads or meat, and he only eats fruits and vegetables. Okay? So just fruits and vegetables for a fast. I sometimes will do a media fast where I turn off the TV, turn off video games, turn off the iPod, turn off the internet, turn off the social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that. Just shut it down for a few days so that I could fast. Because that's kind of like sacrifice for me, right? It feels like it's like, man, I want to watch TV. I want to check what's going on Facebook. So I'll pull away from that. And it's not that not eating or not doing these things has any just intrinsic value in making you holy. Okay, it's not that, well, if I don't eat, then I'm more holy than you. No, that's not it. It's what you replace it with. So if I'm going to choose not to eat, say I'm going to say I'm not eating lunch this week, and I'm going to use my lunch hour to have solitude and prayer and silence with God. And so in that hour where I'd normally be eating and talking about March Madness or whatever's going on with my friends at work or wherever, I'm going to spend that time to maybe read scripture and pray and focus on God and really focus, because fasting is all about focus. Focus on a specific prayer that he wants to accomplish in my life or that I want to talk to him about. Fasting is about focus. Words are cheap. They really are. I love you, God. I care about you, God. Yeah, words are cheap. But fasting kind of sends this message that I'm really serious about this thing. I'm serious to the point that I'm going to deny myself. The next one is Sabbath. Sabbath, and this should be a great one for us, but we struggle with this. Doing no work to rest in God's person and provision. Praying and playing with God and others. Okay? Sabbath. Sabbath is taking a specific time off to rest, to play. I'm getting better at this. Some of us can't seem to take a break. We always want to work. We're taking work with us. I was at birthday party, right? Sarah and Shannon's birthday party Friday night at the roller skating rink, and there was a guy there. I'm not going to name his name because he seems like a really cool guy, but he came, you know, and he shows up with his iPad, and he's like ready to work. And I started talking to him. I'm like, dude, I totally feel it, you know, and we had this great conversation. But we do this. We like take work with us everywhere. We don't take a day off. You know, we don't shut the phone off. We're on call, you know, 24/7 for whatever's going on. And it's easy to just stay plugged in and not take a break. And then, in my case, what I'll do is I'll work instead of hanging out with my kids and my wife. It happens. And then I don't play. And then I'm not having fun because I'm thinking about all the work I got to do. And God commands us to rest. In fact, when he created the world on the seventh day, he rested. God, who's pretty important, it's kind of important you keep doing your thing, you know, keeping the world running, he took a day off. He took a day off to rest. We need to play together. We need to have fun and rest together. This is a spiritual discipline that we could do. If you're an OT addict, overtime addict, I know who you are, right? Knock it off. Work 6 days, take a break. There's nothing wrong with working overtime every once in a while, but if it becomes this constant habit and you're doing the 90-hour weeks and the 80-hour weeks and the 60, 70-hour weeks, I did that, okay? I fell asleep, wrecked my car back a long time ago. I did that, working 2-3 jobs. Knock it off. It's not healthy. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your spirituality either. Take a Sabbath. Now, the next one is secrecy. Secrecy. And what is secrecy all about? Secrecy is not making our good deeds or qualities known to let God or others receive attention and to find our sufficiency in God alone. How many of you guys have ring and run before? Come on. That's up. Ring and run. You know where you ring the doorbell and then you run away? Tony, yeah, Carmen, all right. We got Jeff back here. Hey, see me afterwards. We're going to go have some fun, okay? I know what crew to hang with. But secrecy is kind of like ring and run, except where you leave, like, groceries, you know? You leave a gift for somebody instead of, like, a flaming bag of something else. You leave a gift for someone. Secrecy is, like Matthew chapter 6, verse 3 says, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." And then Matthew 6, 4, and here's why, "That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." God tells us that we should have things that are just between us. My wife and I, we have secrets. We have things that are just between her and I that we don't share with our kids, that we don't share with you. You know, it's kind of like an inside joke. You've had those, right? And it's special in a relationship. And we should have those kind of moments with God where it's like, "Hey, God, I'm going to buy that person's lunch. And they're not even going to know who did it." And you just kind of say it and you take care of it and you do it. It's said, it's done, and nobody knows about it. You just surprise somebody. Or pay for the person's groceries, like two people behind you, you know, or whatever. Here, put this towards their groceries. Or just do these things, these random acts of kindness that are secret between you and God that nobody has to know about. When you fast, you don't have to go like carrying a big sign, "Fasting this week. Fasting this week, look out, big Christian coming through." You know, like, don't do that. It's a secret. When you give a donation, you know, don't give the big check, unless it's a really big check, right? You know what I mean? Like, they give the big check, it's like 6 feet long, and it's like, "Look at what I gave, it's awesome." You know, that's cool, but it's okay to give a small check and just toss it in. Say, "I'm going to donate to this charity. I'm going to do this thing, and nobody has to know about it, because I'm not doing it for the recognition for me. I'm doing it because I want to help somebody, and I want to show God, like, this is just for us. This is just between me and you, and it's special." Submission is the next one. Not asserting ourselves in order to come under the authority, wisdom, and power of Jesus Christ as our Lord, King, and Master. Okay, now this one's kind of hard. Submission. This is kind of let someone else pick where you eat, right? It's kind of the thing where you let someone else pick where you eat. "Hey, where do you want to go eat?" "I don't know, where do you want to go eat?" And then you, like, you have one, and so you say, McDonald's. No, I don't want to go there. Okay, I'll pick. You know, and then, you know, let someone else pick. How about this one? You don't have to be the boss. You don't have to be the boss all the time. Let someone else be the boss. Let someone else make the decision. Let someone else be player one. All right? We had Nintendo. Player one always, like, controlled the game. If you're player two and, like, player one doesn't like you, you're kind of stuck. It's just lost. Let someone else be player one. Let someone else be the Heat in NBA 2K14, Carmen. Let someone else be the Heat. That's submission. Let someone else play that team. Let your daughter make the ham for the next family event. She's gonna burn it. Let her burn it, okay? Submit. Maybe not your little daughter, you know, but you know, if you got an older daughter, let your wife drive. Okay, she's better at it, I guarantee. I let my wife drive all the time. We just don't argue that way. Exercise submitting to others. My driving's so bad, she cannot keep quiet. She's constantly, like, grabbing the handles, like, we're gonna die, you know? Like, I just stop, I just pull over, you drive. I give up. Exercise submitting to others. Meekness. This is a quote. I don't know who it is, but someone said, meekness is great power under control. Meekness is great power under control. It's not that you don't have the power to exercise your will, to stand up and say, we're going to do it this way, and we're going to make sure it's right, and it's done my way. A lot of us have that ability. That's just who we are. We were born that way. We could step in and take charge of a situation. Submission is this discipline of, I'm going to let someone else take charge, and I'm going to help them shine. I'm going to serve them and let them shine, and let them have the spotlight, so that I can learn what that's like. Jesus did that. He did that with Pilate. Pilate is the guy in charge of crucifying. He's king of the world. Jesus is king of the universe. He could, like, snap Pilate's neck, you know, or do whatever he wants. He's God. But he submitted to earthly rule. Like I said, with the butter knife, some of us use Sunday morning like a butter knife. Okay? Butter knives are amazing for buttering your bread, for putting jam on it, Nutella, okay? All this good stuff. Butter knives are amazing tools, but they're not great for prying things open and screwing screws in, unless you want a butter knife that's all crooked, and then you're like, well, my butter knife doesn't swipe anymore. You know, it's not doing it for me. Some of us do that with Christianity. Say Sunday morning. It has a great place and a great use, and we're going to cover that next week. But we might use that to cover all these other spiritual tools in our life. We come on a Sunday morning, we didn't have any solitude, we didn't have any Sabbath, so we're tired. I mean, you can't hardly stay awake. We didn't spend any time in rest and play with other people. Maybe we haven't fasted in 30 years, you know, whatever. We haven't used these other tools to connect with God, and then we come on a Sunday morning, we expect it to just kind of cover all the bases. It won't do it. If you want to grow spiritually, you want to grow in your walk with God, you have to use these disciplines in your life. You have to. I have to. It doesn't matter what title's before my name or pastor. It doesn't matter. If I do not do these disciplines, then I will not grow with God. So let these become a way of life, and it will facilitate God's work in your life. If you're not a Christian, if you found this interesting, then come back next week. We're going to talk about some more of these. We're going to look at disciplines of engagement, which are, these were all kind of disciplines of abstinence, saying no to stuff. Next week, we're going to get to say yes to a bunch of stuff. So make sure you come back for that. All right? Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll take up an offering. Dear God, I thank you for who you are. This morning, Lord, we pray that you spoke to some people's hearts, God. We focus on teaching this morning, on teaching and giving instruction. God, I pray that as Christians, we would take what we heard, and we would apply it to our hearts. Lord, let us take our sheet home, look down the list, and just pick one. Pick one that we're going to work on this week. God, I pray that you would see that. You would see our effort, Lord. And you would reward it as we grow closer to you. We thank you for who you are. In your son's name, amen.